person, is it possible that we've been lied to about every single thing in our entire life? Because I was just frustrated. We all wake up in the morning being right. Everybody on the planet's right. Just ask them. 7.5 billion people, they're all right. All day, every day. But to be on this path, I realized that I had to wake up in the mornings assuming that I was wrong. Otherwise, I could look around and go, there's no way this is happening if I'm right.
Why the propaganda? Why?
Because I think they're covering something else up. I don't know.
Many are aware of curcumin's great multifaceted benefits. It has antioxidant protection and hormone balance support. A research study indicates curcumin can help protect against estrogen mimicking chemicals, help shield against free radicals, and encourage normal cell cycle growth, amongst many other things. But the Rev Genetics curcumin has been shown to get 270 times more of the compound into a woman's bloodstream than standard curcumin supplements. This means that this product works much better than any other curcumin supplements on the market. I am so excited to be able to offer this to you. Click on the link below and see scientific studies, charts and comparisons, and much more.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. This show, I have Prime Minister David Williams back. And he's going to talk about his new educational series that he has going on. And there's three parts to it, this is why I really wanted to bring him back. The main reason, the thing that really interests me is educating people how to do the right of self-determination without getting yourself into hot water, without getting yourself into prison. Because a lot of people in the past, there's been many, many examples of it where groups have tried to do self-determination, but they've done it badly, wrong. They didn't follow the self-determined laws properly, and the United States just nailed them, and most of those guys are in prison now. So how do you do this without going to prison? The other thing is the false history, and that so much of what we learned is just not true. And then the third thing is propaganda, the lies that are just constantly going on that we're being told that's not true. And, you know, his big thing is it possible that we've been lied to about everything? And he explores all that, and it's really interesting. And he has this new service, this new class, where it's a lot less expensive, $37 a month, I think, $39 a month. The information will be below. It's affordable and accessible to everyone now, which I love. And so you can start learning about what our true history is and what things really are about at a much more affordable price. And before I get into our interview, I also want to say for my patrons, he supplies a document for me that I'm going to share with my patrons on the most common ways that people end up going to prison doing self-determination. So I'm going to post that for my patrons, and you can get to my Patreon with the link below here. And one last thing before we get into the interview, I want to talk about how more and more countries are acknowledging his country of Dom. And that right now there are up to 9 different countries around the world that acknowledge his country. So his country is becoming more of a living entity that people are accepting, that countries are accepting, which is really cool, I think. And he just sent me one a few months ago with another country that has acknowledged them. So they're going to keep constantly working on that. And I guess, you know, he talks about the United States, and that's how the United States started. France was the first one that acknowledged them, and the rest of the world wouldn't even acknowledge them. And then country by country, they started being acknowledged, and that's what they're trying to do with their country. So he'll explain all that. Let's get into the interview now with Prime Minister David Williams. Hi, David. Welcome back to the program.
Hey, Sarah. Long time no talk.
Yeah, well, we had to have you back. One of the main reasons I wanted you back is because of your education that you're doing to help people stay out of prison and not to make mistakes on how when they try to do self-determination. And then you also talk about false history and false propaganda. And I really want to talk about how countries come together and actually make decisions on what the history is going to be. You made some comments like that. I want to understand that more. But before we get into it, I want to talk about the two paths of self-determination. One is just becoming a citizen of another country. And another is creating your own entity and becoming a citizen of that, of some sort. Can you talk about those two paths?
This, if you look at UN Resolution 2625, and it's a long resolution. It is by far the best resolution on self-determination that, in my opinion, they ever did. Even though self-determination is mentioned in the UN Charter, it's also mentioned in Resolutions 1514, 1541, the Manila Declaration on Peaceful Settlement, because self-determination became the peaceful settlement of disputes. And this comes out of the old Law of Nations, where it says if you no longer find it advantageous to remain within the society that you were destined by birth, then you're at liberty to quit it. And in the Law of Nations, it was called the Right of Exile. And they actually changed that name somewhere a little over 100 years ago. They started using the terminology self-determination. So if you just do a basic Google search and just type in self-determination definition, you're going to get two definitions. And one says to determine your political status, and the other one says to control your destiny. And based on all the years that I've been doing this, you can't do one without the other. You cannot control your destiny if you're not controlling the politics around you. Someone else is going to be controlling you if you're not controlling it. So the two paths are becoming a citizen. You can find this in the Universal Declaration on Human Rights. In Article 15, it says that all people have a right to a nationality and that no one can be denied a nationality and no one can be denied the right to change their nationality. So this is now all human rights.
And one thing that you said is there are people that are doing it, creating their own entities and becoming part of that, but they're doing it in a way that isn't proper to the laws. And actually, it's almost like a big dragnet where they're all going to get rounded up and thrown into prison or something. And it's really, actually, it's not funny because it's happened many times before and it's a serious thing. You have to do it properly. Otherwise, you can get yourself into a lot of hot water. Can you explain why it's so important to do it properly?
One of the things that was talked about so much in the UN Charter, because under Article 1, Section 2, self-determination almost didn't make it into the Charter. And the reason was because they had huge debates about secessionist movements. And it has been decided by the international community that secessionist movements are not self-determination movements. And the reason they're not is that you're trying to take over something that's not yours. And also, secessionist movements have always been war. They've always resulted in war.
It's like a revolution or you're one entity trying to take something over, so that it's an act of war or it's an act of revolution, not an act of starting something over.
That's exactly right. We have the examples here in the U.S. because you have the Civil War, but you also have what they call the Revolutionary War, and these are just names. The king did not consider the Revolutionary War a revolution. He considered it a civil war against him. And so, it was a civil war. They were rebelling against their king. And according to that time in law, Sarah, it actually said in the Law of Nations, and these guys were major, major students of the Law of Nations, John Adams, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson. I mean, these guys were just, they were attorneys. They were all bar licensed British attorneys. And so, but what they were doing is that they were running the House of Burgesses. And I'll just get into a little bit of history just for a minute here. I'll just take a look at what was going on back then. People don't know this. We were told in school that this all occurred over this thing called no taxation without representation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the question is, was the king taxing the colonists?
Well, I mean, you got the whole Boston Tea Party. They put tax on tea and everybody got mad.
The reality is that they didn't put tax on tea. They lowered the tax on tea. What they got mad about was John Hancock was the biggest smuggler around. And all of a sudden, they were undercutting everybody, you know, because everybody in Boston liked smuggled tea as much as anybody else, right? But they were avoiding the customs house brokers, which were all British. People have this tendency to think that somehow or another they left Britain and got here and became Americans. This whole landmass was called the British North American colonies. And even in Patrick Henry's writings, they all acknowledged His Majesty's colonies in America, His Majesty's colonies in America. So they were bound to British law, especially when it came to import taxes or export taxes. This did not apply to the average colonist at all. This applied to the merchants. And so as far as there being any direct taxes, one of the things I had up here, and I'll see if I can find it, was that the charters that the king gave to the merchants freed them from all taxation except for imposts and duties on imports and exports. That was it. So these guys were given the land grants, and if you read the land grant, it said that the king gave them the power to set up their own constitution. He also gave them the power to set up their own courts and their own magistracies. And so they were running these things called the houses of burgesses. So the no taxation thing was a myth, because the average colonist was not even being taxed by the king. There was no such thing as direct taxation by Britain in the British American colonies. He left that for the nobility to do as he was giving out the land grants.
So that's the first lie. Not the first lie. It's one of many lies.
That's the first. It's all of our fault. It's like, I mean, I love these guys that talk about history. Napoleon Bonaparte said, history is just a set of lies agreed upon.
In keeping with my promise to provide the absolute best products I can find that I take personally and would give my family, I'm really excited to show you their advanced NMN, which has been proven to dramatically increase your energy and much more. As discussed in multiple shows with Ken Schwartz and Cliff High, NAD is a great supplement to enhance C60's effectiveness. But even on its own, NMN can pass through cell membranes and join with other NMNs to then convert into NAD+, making it much more effective than other NAD supplements on their own. NAD and NMN has been scientifically shown to increase DNA repair in cells. It has also been shown to promote the creation of new mitochondria that can replace our old mitochondria, and it can also increase the removal of damaged mitochondria in our cells. It maintains stem cells' usefulness and ability to regenerate. It also has been shown to reverse age-associated expression of genes involved with inflammation. It does this and a lot more, and it does this at an affordable price of $37.95. Click on the link below to find scientific studies and to learn more about this amazing product.
You made a comment, the agreed upon part, like World War II, and you said that you know, some people were being cracked down on because they're talking about history in ways that weren't agreed upon. And I'm like, well, who agreed upon it? You know, I always think, well, we're just all people. But Who made those agreements and said, this is really what happened. Anybody talks different about this, we're going to nail you. Even though it's all bullshit.
Okay. I'm going to show you something real quick. This is the 7th International Conference of American States. You can see that on the screen, right? This was held in Uruguay, Montevideo, Uruguay in 1933. And I just did a conference back in August or September last year, where I was in front of a bunch of podcasters, and we all got to do a 2-minute pitch. There's like 175 business people in the room. And that's the reason that I'm coming out with the education again, is because we're now in a day where everybody used to be mad about the controlled media, and they're still mad about the controlled media. But the problem with YouTube and Facebook and all this social media now, or what I call anti-social media, is it's like the Wild West. It's complete anarchy. People are saying anything. And so nobody knows what to believe anymore. Now, this is feeding into the system in a way, and I'll find it right here. They did several conventions here. They did one on asylum. They did one on extradition. But they did one on history. And here's what it says about history. In Article 1, these are all these delegates. And this is all the American states, includes all the nation states of the Caribbean, Central America, South America, and North America, except for Canada, because that's still a British dominion. Okay, so when you're thinking about the OAS, today it's called the OAS, but this is the 7th International Conference. And it says that these delegates, we hereby agree, Article 1, to revise the textbooks adopted for the instruction in their respective countries with the object of eliminating from whatever might tend to arouse in the immature mind of the youth any aversion to any American state. This is history revision 101 right here. They've all agreed they're going to revise it.
That's the definition of propaganda. Anything that might make them think negatively about the United States, we're going to take that out.
Or any other state, Brazil, any of them. It doesn't matter. Because everybody ratified this treaty. Everybody ratified that convention. As a matter of fact, I don't think there's any, I don't even think there was any reservation or anybody that withheld any objection to it.
Well, then why is there so much information about what Germany did in World War II and how bad they were? If all states, because that makes them look bad. We won the war.
There was a lot of
whoever
stuff.
Wins.
There was stuff that the Germans did that were bad, but basically, if you look at what Hitler said, his attitude was kill all the bankers and the lawyers. But he wasn't about killing others. It's very interesting you're bringing this.
Yeah, I'm not saying he was a great guy. He did a lot of bad stuff. And I think that when I look at really what the history was of World War II, what I've learned is that he wasn't the only one doing that kind of stuff. There was concentration camps all over the place. Russia killed more than Germany killed. Even the Western countries, European countries, England, United States, we all had concentration camps of some sort. Germans were persecuted. There was millions of them that were persecuted. So it was kind of a common thing back then. But the problem was, is they're the only ones, well, Russia has in this country, we've learned about it, but not to the level that they did it. They were heavily, pointed to as how evil they were.
Well, that is part of the propaganda, because the bottom line of it is, at the end of the day, and you've heard me say this before, at the end of the day, they're looking for honor behind the system. You know, like if I show my website here, I'll show it in a minute. I have all these quotes that I now have that are going across the website, or they're like uniquely my quotes, things that I have learned along the way. And I came up with a principle that I would live by once I started learning this stuff. My first maxim that I ever came up with back in 1999 or 2000 was that those that don't know are at the mercy of liars. And that's the world we're living in right now. I intend for a moment that we were put here on this planet to fight wars against each other, kill each other, and destroy the planet at the same time. This is just ridiculous. Right?
That's what we're doing. Yes.
Yeah. And so, one of my maxims up here is that you can't fix a state until you fix the people within the state. And so it's always about human nature. I just sent you a video, by the way, on email. I don't know if you've seen it yet, but this guy's talking about how we all wake up with that program running. And what is that program? That program is our past. It's what we were told as kids. It's what we were told by our parents, our preachers, our teachers, our politicians, or whoever. And so we wake up in the morning and we're always living in the past. As soon as we wake up, we're thinking about our bills, our problems, our things that we have to do, okay? And over time, our body becomes so habituated that we don't even think about it anymore. The body now knows it better than the brain does. So every one of these things create an emotional link. That's why this is so hard. I was getting through a document that I had written, and I didn't pull it up today, but I had written this about why people don't exercise self-determination. I mean, they have turned nation states into a religion. Nationalism has become a religion. The state has become God. So people aren't even thinking, well, like the founders did. It's like, well, we don't like what the king's doing, so we're going to create something new. Because every nation state on this planet exists because of the right of self-determination.
How do you create something new without getting yourself into trouble? Because it's pretty serious. They're going to nail you if you do it wrong. In fact, they're looking to nail people.
Yeah. They're actually not. I mean, this is what I talk about when they're looking for honor. They extended us a lot of honor in the courts. I started this in 2000. I sued the IRS. I sued 12 attorneys, 5 financial institutions, 2 clerks of court, 2 judges. I sued First Union Bank, which was then became Wachovia, and then it became Wells Fargo, and 4 of their agents. And then I sued the IRS and 3 of their agents. And then we were coming at this from a completely different angle. We were coming at the language was messed up. I call it on the website. I call it the language rabbit hole. Like you can find this stuff. Like here's the DVDs. This is the one set. It's 2 sets. Work that I did from 2010 to 2014. But in there, I talk about we were for 4 years. It took me 4 years to figure out. We were challenging the system. I wanted out. I had already moved to St. Kitts. I wanted out, and I got drugged back here because of legal battles. And because we were invested in a program down in the Cayman Islands, us and 3,100 other people, and the U.S. just marched down there on October 12th of 1999 and snatched $310 million from all the investors. My portion of that was right at, it was a little bit over 579 So it's a bad day the day you get the call and say, you know, almost 600 grand you had over here in this investment, it's gone now. It just got eliminated under civil asset forfeiture because the people that were running the program got arrested and put into prison. But I watched the United States government tell the Cayman courts what to do. And I'm like, where do they get the authority to do this? And that's where you start learning this. You start learning that they have the authority by agreement, by treaty. And the U.S. is the top dog on all these treaties. What we were doing was just so different. And they have never come after me. They have never charged me. They have never arrested me. And when I finally had to go to trial and testify at someone's trial in 2006, I mean, I've had agents show up at various times. And then we were in Kinko's, my wife and I at the time. And I said, some guy came in and he was talking to her. And I came over and shook his hand. I sat down because, you know, as part of the way to get past the man is to get friend with the woman already, right? Because if they got past her, that means they already got me. Because she was more in tune with somebody being a crook or somebody lying than I was. Because I'm from North Carolina, from the farms. You know, everybody in North Carolina is gullible.
That's Minnesota. We're known for that. But keep going.
I have a friend of mine that says that about you.
About me personally?
Oh, he says it about you. He said, "Oh yeah, she's just Minnesota nice."
That's our whole state. That's why we're targeted because. I mean, yeah. We're known to be targeted specifically for that reason, but keep going.
But anyway, after I figured out, he said something, we talked for like 10 minutes and then he said something that clued me in that he was an agent. And I was like, I looked at her and I said, okay, Sherry, he's an agent. He knows everything about us. And I turned around, and he's doing this. And he's like, well, why did you want to take on an 8,000 pound gorilla anyway? And I swear, Sarah, I could see the gorilla behind his head. It's like he had all the power at that time. And I just looked at him. I said, I really didn't. I'm just trying to find the door out. They knew that about me. They did. Everybody's profiled. They knew I had moved to St. Kitts because I was tired. We were basically semi-retired at that time. We had done well in business and so forth. And even she would say it was the most peaceful time of our entire life, the 2 years that we were down there. But then all this legal stuff happened and we had to come back. And I didn't want to come back. And so based on learning, you know, I remember back when I started learning this in 1999 after the funds got seized. And this is where the rubber meets the road. Okay. I looked at her one day after reading the Constitution and reading some other stuff in law. And I looked at her and I said, is it possible that we've been lied to about every single thing in our entire life? Because I was just frustrated. And she said, well, I guess it's possible. And I said, well, then if we're going to reverse engineer this, then I got to start there that I've been lied to. And I think that was one of the things that made it different for me was that, you know, I talked about the past and talked about how people wake up in the morning. We all wake up in the morning being right. Everybody on the planet's right. Just ask them. 7.5 billion people, they're all right. All day, every day. But to be on this path, I realized that I had to wake up in the mornings assuming that I was wrong. Otherwise I could look around and go, there's no way this is happening if I'm right. All this stuff that was happening. And it just started unraveling many things for us and for all of our, you know, I'll give you a class. You want to give you a piece of propaganda that's going on right now that'll just blow you away?
Go ahead. I probably won't blow me. Well, maybe it will.
You know me, I have to have props. I told you I'm like a prop comic. I have to have some props. Have you seen the latest news? Because you've interviewed Wal Thornhill, and I'd love to interview Wal Thornhill because I'll start podcasts of my own when I do the site. And the site's already up. We're already moving DVDs. I've reduced the price by 80%, and the $37 a month is going to be, I'm just going straight membership. Because I'm realizing that somebody's got to build a new education system. And of course, we've been doing education in other countries as well with what we're doing. Anyway, let's go back to this, the propaganda. Matter of fact, let me pull it up. I have a picture.
Well, before you get to that, and since you're getting set up, what I like about your education system is that you're going to help people, and this is why I like it, you're going to help people stay out of prison. If you're looking to do self-determination, you got to do it in a way that'll keep you safe. You don't want to be going to prison. So you want to understand what you're doing. And even if you don't want to do self-determination, it is kind of interesting to learn all the details. But the important thing for me is to help people and to bring things to people that'll help them. And the staying out of prison thing right. was one thing that I really, that really said, okay, I got to get him on and talk to him about this because that's really important. But keep going. Well, I want to hear your propaganda thing.
Whether you're doing self-determination or not, I mean, this is what I sent you when you wrote to me. This is like the three major points that I've seen people go to prison for, and this is over a 20-year period of time. And we'll go through that in a second. But see, I want to do fun stuff with the website as well. Like I said, I just did a 30-minute presentation on the lies of Fukushima. Why am I able to do that? Because at age 20, I was running a nuclear reactor for the Navy. I was in their nuclear power program. And in the presentation, I actually show the facility that we were at, which is called D1G, up in Boston Spa, New York. Okay, and so I go through exactly what happened with Fukushima based on their official timeline and their reports and their official video. You can't believe the lies that are in this official video. It's just unbelievable.
What are they saying? What are the lies about Fukushima that this is still happening?
I'll give you the one right up front. The first lie right up front is that the core melted down. If in the military, you know, you could be at a reactor plant panel, and it's a great big scram button. So the way a nuclear reactor works is you've got fuel rods that are loaded into a containment unit. That containment unit is steel, and it's also concrete and lead. Okay, and it's specialized. That's out of the MIT reactor. There's a reactor that runs and operates at MIT. All right. They're standing above this thing 10 feet. There's 10 feet of water. There's a gentleman there interviewing the woman. She was probably the age I was at the time I was in the military. She's a student at MIT. She's been approved. There's 10 feet of water between them looking down at the nuclear reaction inside the core. He's like, why are we not dead? And she said, because that water shields it. But she's showing him all the specialized shielding and everything around that reactor. So the way a reactor works, though, is you have fuel rods and you have uranium. They are set inside. The fuel rod itself is clad with zirconium. Okay, so the uranium pellets are inside the zirconium. They also have control rods. They're made out of hafnium. So they lower these control rods down. Okay, you cannot have any reaction happen without water. You have to have a moderator. The moderator slows down neutrons so that the uranium can absorb it. But for hafnium, they don't have to be slowed down. Hafnium will absorb those neutrons and shut down that reaction. So when you hit that scram button or any of the automated systems that would cause the reactor to scram, what happens is those control rods drop down into place, and within 2 seconds, that fission reaction is done. It's over with. What does that mean? That means the core is not generating any more heat. It's like taking coal out of a furnace. There's no more heat. So they want to keep talking about this residual heat that melted down the core. Where's the extra heat coming from? The core operates at 570 degrees. But if you shut the reaction down, there's no more heat. You keep running the pumps and you keep venting steam and it keeps cooling off the plant. I've been inside the plant within 2 hours, 3 hours of shutting a whole plant down, shutting a reaction down. Okay, and so, but the point here is there's zirconium that clads the fuel rods. The melting point is 3,370 degrees. It can't melt down.
So why are they lying? Why are they making this whole thing up? Because the whole thing was about how the core was going to melt down and how that became a major issue.
I won't go into it anymore. I mean, this presentation is already up on the website because I go through it point by point, and I'm going to do a part two to this one as well.
Okay.
Because I've actually found, look, when we went through nuclear power school in Orlando, we couldn't leave the building with any of our notes. Everything that we did in that building had to be stamped confidential. We were taking like 5 or 6 classes a day. We usually had a test every day. It's one of the most intense training schools that anybody would ever be in because you're in the military and they own you for 8 hours a day. But when you're in school like that, I mean, we're talking about a junior and senior level college material, metallurgy, reactor plant operations, how, you know, nuclear physics actually works. And it's very, very stressful. It's intense. It's extremely intense. And a lot of guys just wash out. They can't handle it. Today, I'm actually finding on the web YouTube presentations that are talking about stuff that I used to have to keep. It's like it's all out here now. So anyway, go ahead.
And why do you think that is? Why do you think the confidential information is now open source?
It doesn't need to be anymore. Really, I mean, we're only talking about how to operate a reactor plant. We weren't talking about how to enrich uranium fuel for a bomb.
That makes sense.
There's a difference because uranium cannot, the way the uranium is put together in a nuclear core, it can't explode. And you can't detonate it. You have to have a trigger to detonate the reaction anyway. So the way they make a bomb is completely different than the way they make a reactor.
But why the propaganda? Why?
Because I think they're covering something else up.